time. Some of y'all looking at me getting a flashback of some of y'all younger days. Some of y'all ain't getting no flashbacks. Y'all just like, I thought it was fool then. I still think it's fool now. But bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, sometimes you got to change it up. Y'all ain't never seen a high top so high, innit? One of a kind. One of a kind. Somebody almost got me beat. Almost, but I had to brag when I saw him earlier. I said, you almost got me. Almost. Amen. Well, I do honor the Lord for being in the house one more time. I thank God for the awesome angels of this house, Apostle and A.D. Smalls. We tell God thank you for their radiant beauty in the kingdom of God and the light that they show. Amen. We honor God for Mother and Apostle Super in their absence and all the elders and ministers. Amen. Everybody in their respective places and our youth. Thank God for you coming out. Parents, thank you so much for bringing them. And those that drove on their own, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Well, tonight I'm going to talk to you briefly. I don't believe I'll be before you long, but I can't talk for the Holy Ghost. I can only talk for me. And look at somebody and say, don't run. Look at somebody else and say, don't run. Lord, have mercy. You know, sometimes I ask God, why do you give me stuff like this? Because as soon as he start talking, that's when folks start getting like, oh, Lord, I thought I was through. Thought I was under the radar. But God knows everything. So look at somebody behind you and say, don't run. Young people, look at somebody next to you and say, don't run. Lord, have mercy. We were trying to figure out what you're running from. Well, I'm going to talk to you tonight about Jonah. And some of us older folks, I ain't that old, but older. This is going to hit home for us in some things. And I pray to God that we all find what the Lord is telling us today. I pray that God, our ears are open and our hearts are ready to receive. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about Jonah. You can go to Jonah chapter 1 if you choose to, but I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis here. We find Jonah, and God talks to Jonah, and he says to Jonah, get up and go to a city called Nineveh. And he says, I need you to tell the people about their wicked ways. And Jonah says to himself, I'm not going to do that. See, sometimes we find ourselves in a place of rebellion because of things we don't want to do. How many of you eat vegetables because you had to when you were growing up? You know, you had to eat peas or whatever it was. It was something you didn't like, but you had to eat it. You didn't have a choice. And then sometimes when we get grown, we stop doing things that are necessary because we just don't want to. Oh, Lord, I ain't gonna talk now. And so here it is. God tells Jonah to do something that's very necessary, but he just didn't want to do it. So he runs to a city that specializes in transportation over the water. And he gets in this boat. And verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. See, the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid. Every man cried out to his God. Say to his God. This is a God with a little G. And so they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. How many of you understand that disobedience is a load that you can't get rid of with physical things? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Shout, don't run. But Jonah had gone down to the lowest parts of the ship, and he laid down there, and he was fast asleep. So the captain came to him, and he said to Jonah, arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said unto one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. Look at somebody and say, your disobedience will cause trouble for everything you are connected to. Shout, don't run. Lord, have mercy. And so here it is. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they asked him, or they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Say, what's your job? Where do you come from? Say, where did you come from? And what is your country? Say, what's your country? And of what people are you? Say, what people did you come from? Who's your mama and your daddy? Because, see, they're trying to make sure that they don't find themselves in this same situation again. So if I hear your name, I know I got to stay away from you. This is what they're trying to tell him. So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Say, the presence of the Lord. In the very first verse, it says that Jonah went to Tarsus to get away from the face of the Lord. Let me explain something to you about the face of the Lord. The face of the Lord is a place that not everybody has access to apart from the blood of Jesus. What I'm saying is the face of God is not just his blessing, but it is who he is. It's his presence. It's an intimate relationship. And so Jonah ran from the intimacy of God. Look at somebody and say, don't run. I'm not talking about you shouting on Sunday and doing good things every now and again. I mean, don't run from an intimate relationship with God, a relationship that will help you through every day, not just Sunday. So Jonah ran from what God was really trying to give him, an intimate relationship. And so Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord because he had already told them. Verse 11, then they said unto him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said unto them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. 13. Nevertheless, the man rowed hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more and more tempest against them. 14, therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord. Now they're talking to Jonah's God. Please do not let us perish for this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, Jonah's God, have done as it pleased who? You. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord, Jonah's God, exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And it says, and took vows. They made a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now I'm going to go to 17, and then I'm going to talk to you for just a few moments. Now the Lord had prepared, say God prepared. Say God prepared. A great fish to swallow Jonah. Okay, the rest of this verse says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let me stop for just 1 second. See, Ivan brought something, a revelation back to me the Lord had given me a while back. We are the salt of the earth. And look at somebody and say, God's going to get his glory one way or the other. And the scripture says if the salt has lost its flavor, then it's good for nothing to be treading underfoot. We understand that salt is traction. It brings traction on a slippery slope. And so sometimes when you run from God, God will use you to keep somebody else from falling. And so what happened was these men who didn't know God, God said, Jonah, you are what I designed you to be. And if you ain't going to open your mouth and keep them from falling, I'm going to lay you in front of them and let them walk on you so that they don't fall. See, sometimes when you feel like somebody's foot is in your back, it's because you're walking in disobedience and God is trying to get the person next to you not to fall because you ain't living a witness. Let me slow that down. Sometimes when you feel like people are stepping on you, it's because you've not walked in obedience and just opened your mouth. So God allows your life to become something that they can look at and say, I'm not going to be like that. Oh, now you ain't got to say nothing to me. Shout, don't run. Oh, God, have mercy. And then 17, I found this very interesting. The Bible says that God prepared a great fish. So it doesn't mean that the fish was ready to swallow Jonah. No, God said, I've got to prepare him. I've got to make sure that this trial that I'm getting ready to deliver him in won't kill him. Wait a minute. See, scientists can't figure out how he got swallowed. They're trying to say, well, he was in the gill or he was laying on this side. No, let me explain something to you. God prepared the trial. And God will prepare a situation for your life when you are walking in disobedience. One that won't kill you, but one that will bring you to acknowledgement of who he is. Somebody shout, a thorn in my flesh. And when the Lord spoke to me, I said, oh, God, have mercy. God says, see, the trial that you thought was going to be traumatic became the place that keeps you humble. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There are some things that have occurred in your life that you cannot forget. You tried to forget, and every single time you turn around, that one thing keeps pointing in your mind because it keeps you humble. When you would have walked out on God, you remembered what happened. Oh, God, have mercy. See, y'all don't want to say nothing to me. See, when you could have walked out on God, you remember what happened, and sometimes God will prepare a great trial. And let me explain something to you. Paul said that there was a messenger of Satan God sent to buffet me. And see, what happens is because the trial looked so detrimental, because God has allowed the enemy to touch you, what you have to understand, Satan's design is only to draw you closer to God. What? What? You mean you allowed this foolishness to happen to my life? You allowed Satan to put his fingerprints on me? Yeah, to keep you running back to me. See, when you're in the secret place, Satan can't touch you. But every time you run out, God says, I know what to make you run back in. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anybody ever had a big dog and you were scared of that dog and you just did not go in the backyard? You stayed in the house. Why? Because you said, if I go out, it's going to bite me. And see, God says, I understand that my people, if there was not a tyrant on the loose, would be all out doing whatever they felt like doing. Not even thinking about me, not even desiring me. But God says, I've got to allow a thorn to rise up to keep you in a place of humbleness, submission. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that Jonah finds himself in this prepared place. And the second chapter tells us that now Jonah begins to cry out to God. God, deliver me. And when he recognized that he was on assignment, this thing really wasn't about him. It was about God receiving glory. Say, it's about God receiving glory. I'm going to say something else to that effect in a minute. Sometimes people want to get involved in stuff only for themselves. Mm. It's all right to want to be used, but you have to want to be used for God's glory, not for your own popularity. Not so somebody can see how good you can make programs. Not for somebody to see how good your chicken is. Oh, y'all ain't want to say nothing to me. See, when you the Bible says everything you are do unto the glory of God, not for the glory of yourself, the satisfaction of your own pocket. It's, oh, see. This is why it don't profit you. Shout, don't run. Lord, have mercy. So Jonah, when he relents and he repents to God, the 10th verse in chapter 2 says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, this prepared trial. And he told it to vomit Jonah out on dry land. Lord have mercy. And we see that now in chapter 3, Jonah goes and does what the Lord calls him to do. And he delivers the message to this great city. Understand something about this city. This city was so big that it took Jonah 3 days just to go through the whole city. 3 whole days just to go through the city crying the message of the Lord. Repent, repent, repent. And the Bible tells us in the 3rd chapter that the people of Nineveh believe God. Now, here comes the problem. Jonah was sent to a city that had over 120,000 people. How many of you have ever been in an audience over 120,000 people? See, let me explain something. There comes a point in time in your life where you stop seeking popularity. You stop seeking for folks to notice you. Y'all don't have to say nothing. I'm talking to some people that do stuff just to be noticed. There comes a point in time where you realize I cannot continue to do this looking for attention for myself. See, Jonah got angry because the people repented. Keep reading this chapter. Jonah was upset and he said, God, I'm angry because you didn't fulfill the word that came out of my mouth. Oh, God, see, y'all ain't got to say nothing. See, some folk feel because they got a gift that obligates God not to change his mind. But let me explain something. When God speaks, it's all up to him on how he's going to bring it to pass, if he's going to bring it to pass. And that's the one thing I love about God, because see, no matter what I say, it ain't up to me to bring it to pass. It's up to God to make that thing manifest. All I am is a vessel. Whatever he released through me is up to him to bring that thing to pass. And see, Jonah was upset because now the people ain't going to look at him in awe, in wonder, in amazement. See, y'all ain't got to talk about nothing, but this is somebody who was conceited. Research it. Jonah was upset because the word did not come to pass. He could have cared less if these folks' soul got saved. See, here's the problem. It's too many people that are looking to be popular and don't care about the person who God has designed them to minister to. Say don't run. See, Jonah was running from the assignment because he said, I knew that you, oh God, are loving and merciful and you will forgive. Jonah said, I already know what you're going to do. But because I'm not going to be the popular person in the end result, I don't want to do it. And see, sometimes because what God calls you to do doesn't make you popular, folks run from it. Let me move a little closer home. Sometimes when God sends you to say something and it's confrontational and you understand that now people are not going to like you because you don't agree with their lifestyle, you keep your mouth closed. You laugh at your friends and you associate yourself with folks that are compromising to your spirit, to your standards, and to your God. But because you want to be popular, you don't say nothing. You see folks in school got weed and alcohol, and instead of you telling him, fool, you killing yourself, you sit back and laugh. You still ride in the car with them, and then when you go to jail behind their foolishness, shout, don't run. Jonah said, I'm not going to be popular after this. Little did he know, he's very popular. Folks preach about Jonah all the time. See, this is what you have to understand. God has prepared your ending. You don't have a clue, young people, how the rest of your life will turn out. But you've got to not run from what God is doing inside of you. You can't run from what God has designed you to be. The last scripture, and then we're going to just really get to the main subject, is Ecclesiastes. Chapter 6, verse 10. This is the New Living Translation. Somebody shout, don't run. Come on, look at the person behind you and say, don't run. You can't afford to run. Jonah's biggest problem was he was not going to be popular with this message. Jonah wanted the people to die. He wanted them. Now, listen to me. When I say he wanted, I didn't say he was going around with this spirit. He just wanted everybody to die. No, he wanted the word that God spoke to come to pass so that people would revere him as a prophet. Lord have mercy. Y'all didn't hear that. See, sometimes people just want God to do something so they can be validated in what they already think they are. Lord, y'all ain't got to talk to me. They want to be on your program so they can show somebody how good they can sing. Well, let me tell you something. I don't care how good you can sing. If your destiny ain't attached to me, take your mic, your amp, everybody else on your choir, and sit down somewhere else. Now, y'all about to, oh, Lord, I could preach on that.
Folks want to be validated in their gifting. And so instead of waiting on God, because the Bible says that's your gift to make room when you use it for God's glory. It'll make room for you. It'll bring you before great men, as the Bible declares. They keep finding themselves playing in these back hole places. Holes in the wall. Ain't nobody seeing you because you're trying to promote yourself. Let God exalt you.
Hallelujah. Are we there? Amen. And it reads, everything has already been decided. Say everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody and say, God already knew who you would be. The next part of this verse is what really stuck out to me. So there's no use arguing with God. Look at somebody and say, ain't no use for you to even argue about it. So there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. Let me explain something to you. What you are, God made you. The gift that's on the inside of you, God designed it for you. See, you might not want to be no preacher, but you know God called you to be a preacher. Wait a minute. See, let me tell you something about folks that don't want to be preachers. They know. And they tell folks, I'm not going to do it. They tell them, I'm not going to do it. They don't say, that's not who I am. They say, I'm not going to do it. See, y'all ain't listening. See, when you know, you say stuff like, oh, I ain't going to do that. But let me tell you something. There is no use arguing with God. You can tell me you ain't going to do it all day long, but there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. Because this is what I want to explain to you young people. God's going to get glory out of your life one way or the other. I'm going to go back to the very first analogy. If you don't do what God has called you to do, your life will be an example for folks. God will prepare great trials. Mm-hmm. See, some of us older folks is living in some great trials because we've been running. Oh, Lord, I'm helping somebody right now. Because we've been running, God has prepared a great trial to get us back into the place where we can acknowledge what he's destined for us to do. Young people, let me tell you, what God has for you is for you to accomplish. And you don't have any reason to be afraid or any need to fret, because if God called you to it, he'll prepare you for it. Don't be afraid of your dreams. Don't be afraid of the fact that people keep coming to you because they want your advice. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated by what God has made you. As a matter of fact, embrace what God has made you. Embrace your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be afraid of. If you have confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you ought to be proud that you've made that decision, that you weren't forced into it. As many folks, let me say something. Hopefully this will help somebody. There are a lot of folks that will tell you how many people they slept with, but they'll never tell you if they was a virgin. Y'all ain't got to talk to me. Folks brag about how many girls they got. Oh, see, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Y'all got friends, some of y'all young people who are still virgins, who brag about how many people they slept with, and you ain't that one time opened your mouth and said, that's nasty. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Who's going to stand up and say, I'm going to be different? That ain't nothing to brag about. Ain't even got money to go to the clinic to see if you got something. Stop bragging about that foolishness. Some of this mess out here, penicillin ain't gonna heal. Medicare ain't gonna cover. Oh, so y'all didn't want Medicaid ain't gonna cover. You better be proud of who God made you. Stop letting other folks try to influence you to be something other than what God designed you. Let me tell you, you can run, but you can't hide.
I don't care if you go overseas and join the military, God will still find you. Ain't I right, Apostle? Oh, God will find you anywhere that you are, because God's destiny for your life has to come to fruition. There are people that God will use you to bring to him one way or another. But if you choose not to run, it'll be more fulfilling for you. If you choose to stay obedient to God, you won't have to ask, what am I here for? If you embrace obedience to God, you don't have to wonder about your purpose and your destiny. God will bring you into it. Just let me say this. I never knew totally, and I'm still in the dark about some things, what God was going to make of me. Where I am is the place that I walked into, following the steps of God. The Bible says that the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord. If you walk in obedience, you'll walk into your destiny. And you don't have to question God about what it is. As long as you know you're obedient, you know you're there. As long as you're obedient, you will recognize that you are there. Destiny every day is always unfolding when you walk in obedience. Everybody's standing. Say, don't run. Young people, those of you who are here as well, God has a divine plan for your life. This is not the time for you to hide who God has made you. And this is also not the time for you to believe the lies that the enemy will give you. If the enemy told you that you were born something other than what God made you, it's a lie. If your friends tell you, you should try, young ladies, if your friends, the people who you have that influence your decisions, tell you you should try having a girlfriend, you ought to be the person to say the devil is a liar. Why am I saying this? Because whether you understand it or not, folks are bringing this same temptation to your children every day. And you think you know what they will say. But the end result is that they've got to choose. If the folks that so-called themselves are your friends are trying to influence you to do things that you know God didn't design you, drinking, smoking, cussing, come on, you in the seventh grade. You can't spell half the stuff you're saying. You ought to be the exception and say, you know what? I don't have to be like that. God made you the way you are for his glory. Your eyes, your hair, your nose, your parents. God knew who could take care of you. Don't be ashamed of your family. Let me tell you something, because this is going to help you. Because see, for a long time, I didn't know how to appreciate my family. Can I talk for a second? I didn't know how to appreciate my mama and my daddy. I couldn't understand why other people wanted them, and I was ready to give them to them. I didn't recognize that God's destiny for my life was attached to them, that they had to raise me a certain way, that things had to happen to me in a certain environment for me to be who I am. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Learn from the family that you're in. Learn what's right and learn what's wrong. Don't be ashamed of who God has made you and who God has entrusted you to. Embrace obedience and don't run from God. You'll be the better for it. Now, you might be here tonight and say, you know what? I just wasn't ready for this whole growing up thing. Let me tell you about destiny. Destiny unfolds every day of your life. Right where you are, the age you are, at the mindset that you're in, God knows how to reach you. And if you will embrace obedience, your struggles in school won't be so bad. Oh, I'm talking the truth. Because the Holy Ghost can help you when other folks cannot. Peer pressure won't be so bad. You won't wrap your entire soul around a single person when you're only going to be in this relationship for 2 weeks anyway. Oh, I'm talking right. Some folk change the people they love like people change their socks. Let me tell you something. You are more valuable to God than just being somebody's girlfriend, somebody's boyfriend. You've got destiny in God. Don't wrap your mind around who like you and who don't like you. God wants you, and God wants you to do His will. And when you decide to be obedient to that, hallelujah, you'll find a fulfillment that man and woman cannot bring. You will find that loneliness won't be there. Once you learn how to truly embrace who God is in your life. Now, somebody's sitting here today and they're saying, you know what? I've been running. Running from truth or running from destiny, running from the gift, running from the call. Matter of, and let me tell you something. You can go to work and not come to church if you want to, but you can't run from God's voice. You can lie about being at work and be at a party when you know you're supposed to be in church, but you cannot run from God's voice in your head. Just shout, don't run, don't run. Somebody's hearing that tonight. I can't run any longer. God is requiring you to fulfill destiny. Don't let your life become the example of who not to be. Don't let your life become the example of who not to be. You've got to do like Jonah and come to repentance. I say, Lord, I ran from you and I need you to put me back in the right place. And let me tell you about the same trial you in. That same trial will burp you back up into the place of purpose. Once you repent, them same people that cursed you, God will make them bless you. Once you repent, them same folks that lied on you, God will use to spread the truth because He knows that they've got the people's ear. But you've got to repent. Doesn't matter your age. If you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, come and let's pray together. Come and let's talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to run any longer. I'm not going to run from who you made me. I'm not going to run from what you've called me to be, what you've called me to do. I will not run. I won't compromise it anymore. I won't allow people around me to influence my decisions for you anymore. Whether or not I open my mouth, I won't be intimidated anymore. I refuse to be stressed out anymore about who likes me and who doesn't like me. God, I need you to help me in destiny. God, I'm not going to allow what other people think about me to influence me anymore. God, the only opinion that matters to me is yours. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Something that you know is not right. And you saying, God, I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to deal with this thing. God will deliver you. Maybe you're struggling with things that you see and things that you dream in your mind. God can deliver you. Don't you realize God knows the details of your life? God knows what you've been through. He knows the folks that betrayed you. He knows the folks that manipulated your trust. God knows. He just wants to deliver. I'm speaking to somebody with addictions. You don't have to continue in this. God says you don't have to continue. I feel a strong anointing for deliverance. You don't have to be this way any longer. I don't care how long it's been happening in your mind, in your body, it doesn't matter. God is here to deliver you. Whatever it is. Don't nobody have to know what it is, but God, He knows. The only thing you have to be embarrassed about is leaving out of this house with it. When God has presented you a way free from it. Father, I feel your power. Those of you that are here, repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight and I ask you to forgive me of running from my purpose and my destiny in you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, of being lazy, of being intimidated, being influenced by the wrong people. I give you my heart and I give you my mind. Make me what you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're standing here tonight.